Blog Talk Radio.
What a strength.
Forever, come on.
Forever and ever.
And ever.
And ever.
And ever.
We're all.
You've
got
love
for me.
Blessings and
glory.
And honor.
And honor.
Thank you. I want to give credit to the Lord.
for allowing this young lady to praise God. She says, I just want to praise you. When you think about how good God's been to you, you just want to praise him. You don't want to, you know, go through all this other stuff. You just want to praise him. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God. To all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus, we're truly happy to have each and every one of you guys. You could have been doing other stuff, but you chose to be on the broadcast today, and I thank God for you. We're going to give God a word of prayer, and we're going to have a word of prayer, rather, and then we're going to get into the lesson. Father God, we come with thanksgiving in our heart. Your word says, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning us in Christ Jesus. So we take this time to say thank you, Father God. First of all, thank you for your word, because we in your word, Father God, we learn that we can truly be born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed, which is the word of God, according to 1 Peter 1:23. I thank you, Father God, for forgiving us and all of us for all of our sins and washing us in the blood, according to Colossians 1:14. I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, you decreed and declared that we are new creatures in Christ Jesus, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, for being delivered. Hallelujah. Deliverance. Thank you, Father God, for those that have experienced deliverance of all kinds. I thank you for it. Thank you, Father God, for delivering us from the power of darkness and translating us into your kingdom. I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, we've been redeemed. Hallelujah. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law and the sin of death. I thank you, Father God, for paying the price. I honor you. I praise you. I give you the glory today. I thank you, Father God, for choosing us and putting us in the beloved according to the word of God. I thank you for it. I praise you for it. Give you honor. And we thank you, Father God, for this broadcast. I thank you that someone is going to receive a word today. And at this time, we just want to give you thanks and give you praise. Jesus' name. Everybody agreed with this prayer. They said amen and amen.
Amen, amen.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're talking about being in Christ. And I want to put a pin there, because a lot of times people are not in Christ. And I'm glad we're talking from the book of Colossians, because there's so much resembling the people at in the book of Colossians as what's going on today. In other words, Paul then explained how the world was teaching are totally empty when it comes to comparing with God's plan. He challenged the Colossians to reject shadow answers and to live in a union with Christ, according to Colossians 1:24. Matter of fact, we'll just ask Evangelist Sister William if she'll go to Colossians 1:24. But now, yeah, I want you to read. You have to read all of it, brothers and sisters. But I just want to read a couple of verses there to show you what I'm talking about. Because against this theological background, Paul had turned to practice the word of God. That's what he was doing, practicing the word of God. And everybody didn't understand this, but he was teaching a divine revelation that had to do with the resurrection of Jesus and what it should mean to all believers. And we may get into that as well. But for right now, I want to ask her to read Colossians 1, I'm sorry, Colossians 1 and 24.
Colossians 1, 24, who now rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church.
Amen. 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 So, you see, I heard, I was talking to Evangelist William, and we were talking about a preacher that's out here today want to teach that Jesus didn't do his ministry. And I kind of want to go there just in case y'all hear it or see it on social media. And I don't want to spend all my time just attacking these people or straightening them out for their ignorance. But I'm just reminded that Jesus Christ finished his job. It ain't no he did 85% or he didn't do 85% of what he was called to do, meaning he only did 15% of what he set out to do. No, Jesus said it's finished. The new creation, not only did it come into existence, but it was finished. Forget about the old. The old was definitely finished. When he hung on the cross, listen, brothers and sisters, he died. Why do you think he hung up there? He died. That was the requirement. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. He died. He shed his blood. He did all of that stuff to give us a right to eternal life. That's what Jesus was about giving us the right to eternal life. Some of these preachers that have all these degrees, they need to know that you are complete in Christ. How we're going to be complete if he didn't complete his job? He had to complete his job. And like I said, I won't do it this week. I don't know what time I'm going to do it, when I'm going to do it, but I know the Lord's going to lead me there. Right now, we're talking about being in Christ. That is like the truth, brothers and sisters. You can be in Christ. So we should take this real serious when we talk about being in Christ and in him and in whom. Not just a bunch of words, but take it serious. Okay? And there was a couple of scriptures I wanted to get to before I go back to this. But everything we have is in Christ. If he hadn't completed his job, we would not have righteousness. So we have righteousness and holiness through Christ. We wouldn't be a citizen if Christ didn't complete his job. Matter of fact, we couldn't even be a chosen generation if he had not finished his job. If he had not finished his job, we could not be a partakers of his righteousness if we had not finished his job. And if he had not finished his job, it would be saying God is not in Jesus, and in Jesus is not real. Which all of that becomes a lie when you make a statement that 85% of what Jesus was supposed to do, he didn't do. Because he spent 85% of dealing with other things other than what he came to do. That is one of the most blaspheming thing I've ever heard. That's strictly blasphemy to me. When you're going to deny the Holy Ghost did what it was supposed to do in Jesus Christ. That's straight blasphemy, brothers and sisters. And I'll stand toe-to-toe with anybody and show where it's. But I wouldn't even let those words come out my mouth. So you may see this stuff on the internet. And you need to be able to have your listening ears on so you'll know that we can even have the mind of Christ. And if we can't have the mind of Christ, What kind of mind? We're going to end up with that Adam mind. See? But I just realized a lot of people, they haven't become partakers of a divine nature. Why? Because they haven't been born again, okay? I just made it real simple for you guys. We're going to get back into, I don't apologize, but I do want you all to know, if you have any questions, please shoot them to me. Talk to me. Communicate. Because we also have a responsibility is not allowing people to be blind. See, if the blind leads the blind, then no, they both going to fall in the ditch. I'll tell you what's going to happen. So it's important. Very important. Very, very important. That we teach people to be reconciled to God. And not only that, but we should become a minister of reconciliation. So how are you going to become a minister of reconciliation when you're not complete? But the Bible says that we are complete in him. We're going to go back to where we were on yesterday, which was Colossians 1, the first chapter, 13 through the 23rd verse. I think that's where we left off at. There's so much to cover there. I'm about ready to start having teaching at night again, because there's just so much that's not being taught that need to be taught. And I think I want to call it a higher learning, because that's what God is calling us. To a higher learning, a higher place in him, other than just where we are. He's calling us to a higher learning in him, a higher place in him, to get away from the riffraff that's going on in the world. But right now, I'm going to ask the evangelist, Sister William, if she'll be so kind to read Colossians 1. 13 to the 23rd verse. Did I? Oh, okay. And that's Pastor. Are you there, Evangelist William? Are you on
mute? Yes, I'm here. I'm here, Pastor.
Okay. Will you read Colossians 1?
Yes.
13 verse
Colossians.
Through the 23rd verse.
Yes, Pastor. Colossians 1, 13 through 23. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn, from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it is pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet not have he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereas I, Paul, am made a minister. Amen, amen.
Amen, amen. Good afternoon, everyone. Reading from the Message Bible. God rescued us from dead end alley and dark dungeon. He set us up in the kingdom of the Son he loved so much, the Son who got us out of the pit we were in, got rid of the sins we were doomed to keep repeating. We look at this Son and see the God who cannot be seen. We looked at this Son and see God's original purpose in everything created, for everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank of angels. Everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up to this moment. And when it comes to the organizers and holds it together like a head does a body, he was supreme in the beginning and leading the resurrection parade. He is supreme in the end. From beginning to end, he's there, towering far above everything, everyone. So spacious is he, so roomy, that everything of God finds its purpose, place in him without crowding. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people, and things, animals, and atoms get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmony, all because his blood that poured down from the cross. You yourselves are a case study of what he does. At one time, you all had your backs turned to God, thinking rebellious thoughts of him, giving him trouble every chance you got. But now, by giving himself completely at the cross, actually dying for you, Christ brought you over to God's side and put your lives together, whole and holy, in his presence. You don't walk away from a gift like that. You stay grounded and steady in that bond of trust, constantly turned into the message, careful not to be distracted or diverted. There is no other message, just this one. Every creature under heaven gets this same message. I, Paul, am a messenger of this message. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. And thank you so much, Evangelist William. In this letter, Paul clearly teaches that Christ has paid for sin. That's number one. Mm-hmm. That Christ had reconciled us to God. And that Christ gave us the pattern and the power to grow spiritually. Therein lies the problem. People are not growing spiritual. They are growing intellectually. They are growing sexually. They are growing worldly. But they're not growing spiritually. When it comes to theology and this type of thing, they're growing. But when it comes to spirituality, they're not growing. So it behooves all of us to make sure that we're in the Word of God daily. And it's important what you hear, too. Matter of fact, I may get into that a little bit, too. Because you got to understand, it's a miracle when you get saved. It's a miracle when God gives you revelation knowledge. These are not taken for granted. It's miracles, brothers and sisters, happening all around us.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us want to see, I guess, our kind of the miracles where you can see with the optical nerve. But there's so many spiritual miracles going on, we're overlooking them. But anyway.
Amen.
You have to understand spiritually that because Christ is the exact likeness of God. So when we learn what he is like, we see what we need to become. So since Christ is Lord over all creation, we should crown him Lord over our lives. See, that's what irks me with people when they don't make Jesus and make Christ Lord, because they're not into Christ. If therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. It's a new creation. Nothing never exists. This stuff is new. Okay?
Amen.
So since Christ is the head of the body, his church, we should actually, let me see, nurture. We should nurture that understanding that Christ is the head of the church and not some preacher.
Amen.
It's vital. It's vital that we make that connection, brothers and sisters. Christ is God. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, Lord of all creation and creation of the new creation. We have to believe this stuff. He is the express reflection of the invisible God. He is eternal. Listen, brothers and sisters, he is omnipotent. He's equal with the Father. He is supreme and complete. Can I say that one more time? Yeah. He is supreme and complete, okay? And here's why this is important. Here's why this is important. Because Christ is supreme, superior. Our lives must be Christ-centered. See, when your life is not Christ-centered, you won't see the things that God sees. You won't see the things that Christ sees. To recognize him as God means to regard our relationship with him as most valid and to make his interests our top priority. People have not did that. And for this preacher to get up and say, Christ, I'm going to have to go back and listen to that, but it has something to do with 85% of what he said, he couldn't do God's will because he spent 85% of his time doing something other than God's will. See, that's how I read that. And that would be a lie from the pit of hell, because Christ is God. He is the head of the church. His true belief, now, not everybody, but true believers, Christ is the founder. He is the, he has to become our leader. He has to be the highest authority on earth, not education. That's what people get it mixed up. That's where they get it twisted at. Listen, brothers and sisters, we have to make the word of God first place in our lives. We have to identify with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We have to identify with that. In other words, because our sin has been forgiven and we've been reconciled to God. What do reconcile mean? Let me stop for a minute. What do reconcile mean? What does it mean to be reconciled? Y'all help me out.
To make new, to change.
Okay.
To be bought. Yeah, to be made new. To be brought back.
To restore.
That's it. Yeah. That's the word. Restore. Mm-hmm.
That's a good word, restore. Thank you so much.
Yes, it is.
And not just to be restored one time, but this becomes consistent. It's like when he reconciled us, there's no more conflict now. There's no more problems now.
Mm-hmm.
We've been made or able to act like him now. We've been connected to him.
Amen.
This thing's been coordinated. God, he put us in harmony with him. How that happened? That's a miracle, brothers and sisters, that God did this. Right before our eyes, he combined us with Christ. He made us to be like Christ. In other words, Christ became our sin. If you want to do a balancing act, that's what he did. We got his righteousness, and he took our sin. How about that one?
Amen.
He unified us back to God.
Amen.
Yes.
So it's so much, but that's what he did. He reconciled us. That's what the Bible says. He reconciled us to God. So if he hadn't completed his work, how could he reconcile us back to God? Tell me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how he could have did it if he didn't do it. But he reconciled us. In other words, we have a union with Christ now that can never be broken. That's what you got to believe. It will never be broken.
Thank you, Lord.
That's why we got to be in Christ so we can identify with him. In our faith with him, we identify. See, when your faith connects with the word of God, you begin to identify with him, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. But here's the problem. False teachers were promoting a, what they call Hesed, that stress self-made rulers. And that's what people do. They get these big churches, big ministries, and then it's like, I'm the authoritative person in the word of God. I am he. And they set themselves up to be something more than they are.
Amen.
So we deal with that on a day-to-day basis. That's another reason, brothers and sisters, you want to be in Christ, bless God. So what Paul was sharing with the people, that we must not lean to our own understanding. We must not cling to our own ideals and try to blind them into Christianity. See, a lot of people being blinded and being led by blind leaders. And that's what we get. But we got to fulfill Christian experience. I don't even think there's people who really understand what the Christian expectation is. But you should be expecting a miracle. I know I'm not going to get to all what I want to get to today, but I want to say this. I will say this, though, because Paul lists five benefits. And he gives them to all the believers. And he says, if you only get this through Christ, first he make us qualify to share his inheritance. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, I want y'all to read this. I want y'all to hear this. See, this stuff has to become a reality. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, see, this stuff has to become a reality. I mean, when I read, I don't know, I read Colossians 2:15. I mean, I just think about scriptures here that why people don't see this stuff. But in 2 Corinthians 5:21. Now, this has to become the truth or it's a lie. So you make the call. You tell me what it is. Read that for us.
Yes, 2 Corinthians 5:21. for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Send the message, Bible. We're speaking for Christ himself now. Become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. How, you ask? In Christ, God put the wrong on him who never did anything wrong so we could be put right with God. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
What you hear when you hear that? What do you see when you hear that? What that tells you? What that look like?
Then we could be right with God, and that Christ had took our sin. He didn't do anything wrong. Mm-hmm. Amen. I didn't mean to cut you off, Evangelist.
That's okay, Miss Bell, Pastor Bell.
Well, I didn't hear you. What did you say, Evangelist William?
He didn't even know sin. And the sin was put on him for us to be righteous in God, to do right. And learn
he
Christ
made an exchange there. I don't know if any of you guys go to flea markets or yard sales or to swap me, but he made an exchange here. He took our sin. He took our sin. But then he turned around and gave us his righteousness.
Amen.
Yeah.
See, it's just that plain. It's just that simple. But now you have to receive this stuff by faith. So one of the things you do is you say, thank you. Thank you, Lord. People tell me they don't know what to pray for. You can read a scripture like that and start thanking God. Lord, thank you for taking my sin. Thank you for giving me your righteousness.
Yes,
thank you.
Yeah.
See, what some folks, they're waiting to feel that. You don't feel this. You have to believe this.
Amen.
And that's what faith is, believing in unseen.
Yeah.
So you have to believe this as part of your faith and know it's true.
Yeah. Yeah, see, faith is your substance. It's the thing you hope for. It's the evidence that you don't see. So what is your substance? Is the word of God. That's what you stand on. That's what you believe. That's what you know. Hey, without this, I have no life. I have no. So our substance have to be the word of God, not what some preacher is saying. If he's not directing or she's not directing us to the word of God, well, let me tell you what. We talked about this last week. I didn't want to get too far. Remember, he blotted out the handwriting of the ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us. He got away with that. He did away with it. And the Bible says that he took it away, nailing it to his cross. That's real, people. Having four principalities and power, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He was triumphant.
Yeah, amen.
Do you know what that means? You know what that means? I'm going to tell you what that means.
Victory over.
That's right. I forget how the Messenger Bible put that thing, but when he blotted out the handwriting of the ordinance, he deleted that. You all that have computers and cell phones and stuff, he deleted that. And sometimes you have to do a permanent delete. That's what he did. He deleted it. So stop trying to worry about the sin. Sin problem. There is no sin problem. I don't care how you take it.
That's right.
There is no sin problem as far as God's concerned. Christ took it. He blotted it out. He made him who knew no sin to become sin for us. He became our sin now. So why? So we can exchange and have his righteousness. Well, when you do this, it's yours. Man, I just wish I had time to get into what I want to. You got to learn to receive. See, as many as receive him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. Yeah. Well, I'm going to teach people how to receive Christ. Yeah. I don't know what I'm doing today, but you got to worship the Lord every day with all your whole heart, every morning. That's what Psalm 34 says. You know, you gotta walk in forgiveness, too. I don't care. Some stuff you shouldn't even listen to because your heart won't let you do it. So don't even walk in forgiveness. I don't care. What, you can make a list if you want to, but forgive them. If you've been raped, forgive them. If you've been misled, forgive them.
Amen.
You need to shape your listening skills. You got to sharpen that. You got to shape it so that you can only hear the word of God. You got to sharpen it. So when you read Romans 8:14, for those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. How you led? You led by what you hear in the word of God, not what folks say. And then let me tell you something else, too. You got to start speaking the language of faith. Everybody don't speak the language of faith. Whatever you say, I told Evangelist Renee this morning, I said, the Lord told me to stop agreeing with everybody. I'm going to agree, not with what they feel, not with what they think, not with what they, I'm going to agree with what's coming out their mouth. Either I'm going to agree or disagree. Now, if the word of God is not coming out their mouth, I'm not agreeing with nobody in prayer. I don't care who they are. It can be my mama. I ain't agreeing with them. I'm only going to touch and agree based on the word of God, because that's where God is at. Why should I be outside the realm of God?
Mm.
Pointless. Right. It's pointless. So you got to only speak the language of faith. Faith doesn't speak doubt and unbelief. I told Evangelist Renee, she was telling me, I told her she didn't press one, I was going to go and tell you guys. So she did, and I'm going to tell y'all, she gave a praise report, and she's still in the hospital, but all her vital signs are perfect, like before she even got there. So that's a good praise report. Now, let's see when we want to go home. I told her I'm going to agree with what she said. Now, she may not want, I don't know, she might want to go home tomorrow. So that's what I'll be in agreement with, whatever she say, and not doubt.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm going to be in agreement with. Well, if she want to go home next week, I'm going to be in agreement with that. But by the same token, if she want to go home today, let me tell you about the miracle God we serve. He can change that doctor's mind, go in there and check her out, and if everything good, send her to the house.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what her mindset says. Her mind may say, well, you know, she got this infection. She may have this. Boom. She done prayed. God cleared it up. The doctor said, go take another. The head nurse said, go get a vital sign. Go take another look. Yeah. Brothers, I'm telling you, miracles happening all the time. But guess what? If I'm going to be in agreement with you, it's going to be based on the word of God. So where two or more would touch and agree. And I'm only going to agree with people who going to speak the language of faith. If you're not going to speak the word of God, if you need a miracle or you want to live every day victoriously, you're going to have to learn to speak what the word says in every situation. Don't get me started today.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to tell you, brothers, you're going to have some action behind your word. So just don't take no for an answer. We're going to have to take whatever God promised us is yes. Remember 2 Corinthians 1:20? If you need a miracle, you got to learn to say yes. what God's, all God's promises, all God's promises in him are yes and amen. There is no, 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 no. It's yes, yes, yes.
All right. Amen.
Don't tell me who can't get saved. Don't tell me who can't change. Well, you know, they've been doing this for 40 years. I don't care if they've been doing it for 50 years. That's what miracles are about. Let's see some change.
Yeah.
But now, if you don't want nobody to change, and you just want them to stay in that, well, you keep speaking that stuff, and they ain't going to change as far as you're concerned. But they're going to come somebody along that want to see them change.
That's right.
And they're going to refuse to doubt. They're going to be afraid. You know, they're not going to be afraid to believe. They're just going to believe. You got to make these steps. You got to have this in mind. So don't just sit there, do something. Faith without works, I think he said, is dead. So without speaking it, without saying something. I mean, I got some lessons for you if you wanted to. You know. I mean, that doubt, boy, learn to doubt your doubts.
Mm-hmm.
So when doubt comes along, you say, oh, no, you know, I refuse to entertain those double feelings, those double thoughts. I refuse to operate like that.
Yeah.
I'm operating in the Word of God. I'm not just going to sit there and do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Because faith without works is what?
Dead.
So you got to start planting the Word of God. You got to plant them seeds into folks. That's our job.
Yeah.
The seed is the Word of God, according to Luke 8 and 11. That's the Word of God. Now, why a preacher going to get up and plant all these doubt seeds throughout the meeting? See, I can't do that. I'm not going to do that.
Praise God.
No, Jesus. His job was finished. He completed what he came here to do. And that was to remove sin and give us righteousness. Now we have that right to eternal life.
Amen.
So we got to plant good seed, not any kind of seed. And let me tell you something. If we'll just put a seed, then learn to wait patiently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You wait through faith to inherit the promise according to Hebrews 6 and 12. See, a lot of times we just get beside ourselves. No action, don't expect nothing. See, a lot of people, they don't expect anything. And you have to expect something.
Amen.
Given unto you, good measure, press down. So if I'm giving, I'm expecting something. Well, you know, this is what we supposed. No. The Bible never taught that. That's man's theology. The Bible said give, and it didn't tell you to get an old church building. So get that out of your mind. Throw that over in the garbage can. Mm-hmm. He says give, and it shall be given unto you. Good
yes,
day.
Amen.
Taking
amen.
Together, running over.
Amen.
Give unto your bosom. He ain't said nothing about giving no church, no organization. I tell you what Paul say. Now I have to teach a whole lesson about giving, but I'm going to tell you right now, brothers and sisters. If you give where God tells you to give. You lay up at the beginning of the week something, whatever that is. And you say, okay, Lord, just in case you tell me to do something, this is what I'm going to do. I'm gonna give with this. See, everybody trying to hold on to everything. Brother and sister, I'm going to tell you right now. Whatever you're trying to hold on to, you will not take it away from there.
Amen.
Now, that needs to become a reality to a lot of
That's
people.
Right.
You need to, that needs to become a reality. Some people already caught that vision. Some people have. Some people still wrestling with it. Well, I gotta save me $15,000 here, $20,000 here, $30,000. No, enjoy life. And if God done told you to give to your mama, give to her, your brother, your sister, or a total stranger.
Amen.
See, when the Spirit was telling you to do it. Don't be trying to stop figuring this stuff out or stop trying anyway. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Sometimes it can be a word.
Amen.
It ain't about monetary. Let me get that straight, too. Because a lot of times folks think about, no, God could tell you to give somebody clothes. He could tell you to give them, a car. He could tell you. When the Spirit tells you to give, let me tell you why he's doing that. See, here's what you got to understand about that. You're not losing. You're getting ready to get a blessing.
Amen.
You know how I know
Amen.
That? He says, give and it shall be given unto you. See, he can't give unto you till you give. A lot of times we get little stuff. That ain't the real blessing, baby. Trust me. It's when you become obedient to the word of God. A lot of times we reason why we should give stuff. We just think like, well, you know what? I think this would be the right thing to do. Now, see, those are all the wrong reasons. That's the enemy way of teaching us to give. You got to get it God's way. How is that? Lord, your word says, if I give, it shall be given unto me good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. You're going to call me in to give unto my bosom. It's been placed in my heart that I think I'll give Pastor this coat. I think I'll give Pastor Bell, I'm going to send her $10. God told me to send her $10. What's your address? You got cash app. Let me send you $10. God can put it in my spirit to send you something. See, and you do that. Now, here's why you're doing that. You're not doing it for no show off. You ain't doing it for that. You're doing it because... You know, once you give, you should be expecting something. Stop giving without expectancy. See, you giving without expectancy, then you ain't going to get anything. But if you giving to the promise of God, which is yes, yes, and yes, yes, and amen, when you giving it like that, it's different. Different.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Yeah, that's why you're giving. God, I'm giving. See, God ain't, I mean, come on, people. Let's keep God at least intelligent, okay? Let's at least talk to him like he's intelligent. Well, Lord,
Amen.
Your word says, if I give, it shall be given unto me. So I'm trying you.
Amen.
Yeah.
You need to start playing with God. Amen. Get real. Get real.
Yeah.
Okay, this is the time where if anybody have any comments, come on with it. Hallelujah. Comments about anything. Did that silence everybody? Wait a minute. Hold it. Y'all be patient. This Sister Evangelist Renee right here. Your own sister, Daniel Renee.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I just like to say, you know, God is good.
Yes.
Despite me being in this hospital, he's still good. Overnight, all my vitals came back up. The infection is a stubborn one, so they're pumping more IVs in me, trying to flush it out. Think I'm going? No.
Amen.
I'm praying. I'm going home. I'm claiming this in Christ Jesus' name.
Yeah.
I'll be home by Thursday.
Okay.
The pain in the lower part of my stomach, when I breathe in, it has subsided very, very much. But they did give me pain medicine this morning. And you know that pain medicine, the pain still be there, but you don't feel it.
Amen.
I want to be able to not feel it and not have that pain medicine. And I know God will work it out. And I want to thank you all for your prayers and encouragement. And I just thank my Father in heaven for keeping me.
Amen.
I really didn't know how sick I was. But he did, and he was like, you better go. I just kept putting it off. One more day. Now one more day landed me here. I believe if I'd have went in the beginning, I might not have been stuck in the hospital. I would have been like my big sister and went in and came back. But I still, I thank God.
Amen.
God. He's good all the time.
Yes, he
Amen.
Is.
All the time.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
Thank you. Yeah. And you guys, like I said, are so encouraging to me. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Amen. Anyone else? Amen.
I told her, Evangelist Renee, that I was going to tell you testimony, honey. I tried to wait on
he
that.
Did.
I couldn't hold that thing, baby. I let these folks know you had a good praise report. A good one. Excellent.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Awesome. And I thank y'all for y'all's prayers. Also for myself, as well as my daughter. Her chest came back. So everything was good with that.
Amen.
And like my sister said, all of my vitals and everything came back good, and I was able to come back home. A little sore, but that's okay. That's to be expected. But like you say, God is good, and we know him to be good. So we thank y'all for your prayer, so we know prayer works. Amen.
Yes,
it does. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Hallelujah. Be careful what you hear, brothers and sisters. It's a lot of stuff out there on the internet. And if you're not sure, get with somebody. Talk to somebody. Get some understanding. Yeah. Just don't, assume you got the answer. No, do like I do. I go to the Word of God. I don't care who's speaking. If it's me, if it's pastor, as much as I love her, respect for her, and all that, and I know, but she say stuff, hey, I go to the Word of God. I have to. That's what I go by. When I face stuff, I have to compare. I say, then I come back and clean it up. Because sometimes flesh will take over, brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
And I want to stay live with the Word of God. I want to stay true to the Word of God. So it's important, brothers and sisters, that, be quick. Be swift to hear and slow to act on that thing. But most of all, know that, it's God. It's God.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
That's what this is about. Well, I appreciate you guys. I guess tomorrow is Wednesday hump day. Well, we'll get back into the lesson. But sometimes I just have to go there. I have to say what God said to say at that time. And that's why I do. So meanwhile, y'all stay blessed, and we'll see you all on.